Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome to this edition of the Gardening Show. 1-800-859-0957. Of course, thegardeningshow.com. And because we're getting closer and closer to August, the end of August, means the end of the show's coming up. This is not next week will be the last Gardening Show of this season. And it's been a great season. But we've got time, and I've got phone lines open. 1-800-859-0957. Or as I said, you can email me in Robert in Commerce Township. I'm going to be talking to you about your bluegrass. Marianne in Northville, yeah, mimosas. I can understand what's going on there. But also it gives me an opportunity to be warn people about when you talk about a plant that's invasive, you've got to be a little careful. And Jim and Holt, I think I got an idea of what's going on with your maple tree. But we'll talk about a lot of things today. Whatever you want to talk about. 1-800-859-0957. You know, right now, though, is the time to think about fall and actually next spring. And one of the things that, you know, the nursery industry has a saying, fall is for planting, and that is so true. So now's the time to get out there and take a look at your yard. Boy, that needs replaced, or I'm tired of that, or the damage didn't come back from last winter. And there's plenty of great, great plant material available. I was just out in some of the farmers markets and some of the other places out there. Quality is superb. Choice is great. No real reason not to get the plant that you want. And while you're thinking about it, maybe you're not going to plant this year, but what about next spring? Now's the chance to look at the gardens, take a look at where things are, maybe the moves that you're going to make next spring, too, and get that down in a notebook or something so you can get the plant material, what you need for it. And, of course, that means right now is a great time to divide and share. Daylilies, you name it, hostas, all kinds of plants. We're talking about probably right after Labor Day because it's cooling off. There's more rain, less stress on the plants. And lastly, but not least, certainly check out if you're planning to do any kind of weed control this fall. And I hope you are, because this is the most effective time of year to do it. Check wherever you buy your materials to see if they still got it in stock. Unfortunately, the Halloween stuff is coming out already. It's ridiculous. But that means if you're a gardener, you better grab it while you've got it available to you. So lots of things going on. Speaking of things to do, put this on your calendar, and I'll be putting more information up on my website, thegardeningshow.com. The fourth consecutive Southeast Michigan Bromeliad Society and Michigan Cactus and Succulent Society show and sale. Boy, that's a mouthful. At Mathai Botanic Gardens. But the reason you put it on your calendar, it's September, Saturday and Sunday, September 20th and 21st. If you've never looked at succulents, cacti, and bromeliads, looking for something different, something easy, and something most people don't have, this is the show to go. There will be selling plants. You'll be talking to the expert. These plants are for people who kill houseplants because they are tough. They're also quite beautiful and very, very interesting. So I'll put more information up, but put this on your calendar. September the 20th and 21st at Mathai. That is the succulent, cactus, and bromeliad show and sale. 1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. Let's go to Jack in Redford. Jack, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dr. Dean. My tomato plants seem to have died. Is it possible for them to have drowned from the rain last week?
Did the water stand around their roots for a while?
Yes, there was a good inch or two of water in my garden for at least, 24 to 48 hours.
It's possible. Okay. Redford, you're on the clay over there in Redford, or?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. We, the first 6 to 8 inches I've built up pretty good over the years. But, yeah, when you get down there, it's.
There's still probably water under there, actually.
It's, when you walk back there, I mean, still the soil's very dark. And when you dig, I mean, it's definitely wet.
Okay. Now, when you say they've died, are they just wilting or what else, or something else going on?
Well, they were wilting at first, but now they're actually, the leaves are turning brown from the bottom up.
Right.
And I've got two plants. One is called a whopper, and I forget what the other one is.
Mm-hmm.
My green peppers looked stressed for a few days, but they seem to be coming back.
Okay.
Everything in the ground, like beets and carrots, are obviously doing very well. In fact, they seem to have really exploded here the last 10 days. So
yeah, everything that hurts one plant benefits another, I guess, Jack.
Exactly. Yeah. Though, like I say, I was concerned with all the water back there, and like I say, and the radishes too are doing real good.
Okay.
But it's just the tomatoes that, and they've got tomatoes on them. They're red. They're turning red. I've got a couple off each plant already, but just right after that rain, you know, like I say, the leaves started wilting, and then now they're from the bottom up, they're turning brown.
The wilting, I'm not terribly worried about. The bottom up browning is what's the kicker here. When plants are, you know, the water's standing, the oxygen levels around the roots are very low. And the way plants respond, tomatoes are one that are sensitive to this, is they wilt. Literally, they just can't pump water up. And they come out of it. And that's the browning and all that underneath is the more worrisome stuff point. And that probably is late blight, which would
That could be because I did have a problem with my cucumbers last year.
Yeah.
And that's why I did not plant them this year.
Well, the late blight is sort of one of those things that's just around. I'm going to put late blight up on my website. Mary Hausbeck has a great article that says it's just endemic across the state. And that much moisture plus the stress just would target, you know, just add insult to injury type of thing. So take a look at my website, Jack. The other plants I think are fine. Sounds like they're doing well. But I mean, they're tomatoes. Maybe this is a good time just to check your farmer's market. They are just loaded right now. Sorry about that.
Should I pull the plants out or just leave them?
Leave them and let's see what happens. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. And a couple other things, one of which is the caller was Jack was talking about. It's a lot of produce and things coming in. Certainly, as I was walking through the farmers markets today, it's amazing the quality and the breadth and depth. The apples are in, the melons are in. What better place to, the cherries are there. What better place to live than Michigan? For those of us with gardens, maybe now is the problem is not waiting long enough. You know, what am I going to do with all this? I suggest that you give your local food bank a call. Many of them are set up to accept donations, or they have places that can. Fresh food, fresh vegetables is one of the things that we have a struggle in this state and throughout the United States with feeding our people, and it's not because the food isn't there. We just got to get it to them. So many food banks really appreciate fresh fruits and vegetables because that's something they can't get most of the year. So extra tomatoes, they'll even take zucchini. And give them a call. Please do that for me this week. The other thing that we can talk about this week, you might want to take a look at, check my website, thegardeningshow.com. I've got information on getting a soil test mailer from Michigan State. And the reason for that is soil testing in the fall, it has a couple advantages. One of which is it gives you chances of time if you need to add lime or something to do it now. And then in the spring, the chemistry has changed. The second thing is it's a lot faster right now because the lab isn't very busy. So I will have that on my website. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Judy in Birmingham, and then Tom and Harrison, you're up next. Judy, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been an avid gardener for many, many, many years, and now I have something I just need a little help with.
Sure.
I have a very old rhododendron, might be older than I am, or close to it. We've been in this house 40 years, and it was here when we came, and I do have to move it because there's some construction that needs to be done to a window well that it's right next to.
It's right there. Okay, I understand.
It's about 4 feet tall and 4 or 5 feet across. I know they're shallow rooted. I've moved many of them, but never one this old and this established, and I think it's going to have to be moved in November, and I just wonder if you could give me any help with it.
Sure. Couple of things. One of which is that this is a multi-stage process, Judy, in my opinion.
Okay.
One of the things, first of all, line up some 16-year-old kids because this is going to be hand labor and strong backs. All right.
I love to dig.
Well, but when you take this plant out, if you do it the way I'm suggesting it, it's going to be about 300 pounds.
Oh, so you want me to take a big circle.
I want you to get as big. Actually, what I'm going to talk to you about is taking a spade right now.
Uh-huh.
And cutting, you know, at the edge, the root prune it all as far out as you can get it.
Okay.
And start doing that. And then, of course, obviously, as you well know, Judy, you're going to have to water inside that area.
Yes.
And it will wilt, and you know what's going to happen, and it's going to lose some leaves. However, now, when you get ready to move it, the second thing you do is the new site where you're digging, you know, where you're going to put it.
Well, I'm only going to take it out just while it's repaired and put it right back.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a little bit easier. All right, here's what I would still suggest you do. I'm serious about getting some strong backs on this one, because what I want you to do is after the root pruning and get it out as far as you possibly can.
Uh-huh.
Do we need as much of that root system as you possibly can get?
Right.
And hopefully it's before November. I would like to see it in October or so. But, you know, that depends on the construction.
Right.
To get the new roots established before winter. They need to start growing, and it's going to, in November, we could get frozen ground by that
time. Well, that's true. I was hoping early in November, but I'm just
Know, you got to deal with, Glenn Hagee says, with the way the construction industry is. It's you just, they're backed up, so we go with when they can get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I want. Cut that and water it and everything. The day that you're ready to move it, I want you to get some guys in there to dig that up, go as deep as they can, and then slide a piece of half-inch or three-quarter-inch plywood under it.
Okay.
Just slide it right underneath it, and the roots are shallow, as you know, and you can lift the whole thing up and move it. And keep as much of that soil on it as you possibly can. And that's where the 300 pounds is going to be.
Okay.
Now, and I'm serious, it's going to be around 300 pounds or so.
Uh-huh.
Now, after the construction, once you get it to the site where you're, you know, where you're just sliding it over,
mm-hmm.
cover the root ball with straw or something to keep it moist so it doesn't dry out. It's going to be a while till the construction's done.
Put heavy plastic or
not plastic film, because you got to get some oxygen down in there. I'd rather see the landscape cloth, something like that, burlap kept moist, straw that kept moist. You know, something that allows the oxygen to get into that root.
Well, I doubt if I could really seal it.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to. I just want
anyway.
To keep. I want to keep it moist, but allow the gases to move in and out.
Okay.
Then, once they're done and they've got everything done, then you can slide it back in and just slide it off the plywood right back in. Now, here's another trick, Judy, that you've got to do.
Okay.
You've got to mulch that, and I mean mulch it to 3 to 4 inches deep at least. I prefer straw if you can get it. And that allows the soil to stay as warm as we can, because I want that root system to start growing. It's got to move out.
Definitely.
Now, keep it moist until the ground freezes. Okay. Then, in the next spring, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to have any flower buds. They're all going to abort.
Because there are a lot of them on now.
Well, it's just because of the water stress and the root damage. I would say almost all of them are going to go.
Okay.
You're going to get some more leaf drop. You're going to get some stems that are going to die back. But that doesn't mean the plant will die. It just means that it's under stress. Next spring, you're going to have to be very careful with it to keep it watered, but not so much so that the water stands around it. And then over the summer, you know, just keep working with it, working with it, and working with it. And it should come back. I don't think it'll be a problem. Okay?
I have moved younger rhododendrons when they were in full bloom and they never lost a leaf.
Well, good luck. I've never had that good of luck. I've always had damage happen. And I expect it. It's one of those things, if you expect the damage and then you're happily surprised when you don't get any. So
prune the tips that do not have buds so that
No. Because what will happen is the plant's going to readjust the balance between the top and the root system. And the root system
will stress on it.
It will stress it. You put all that, most of the growth and resources will go to the top. the roots, which you're trying to grow because they've been so damaged,
will
starve out. So no pruning. Now, next spring, when you get the dieback, if you get dieback, make sure it's dead and then prune it and shape it at that time, but not until that root system gets a chance to reestablish itself.
Well, I appreciate that so much.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. 1-800-859-0957. As many times as I've said that, every so often I bobble. And, of course, thegardeningshow.com. And check out thegardeningshow.com, the website. We update it usually by Wednesday, guaranteed. And I'm going to have some interesting information in there, that article on late blight on tomatoes, information on the soil test mailer. And those of you, let me give you the phone number and I'll talk about some other things. Spiders in your lawn, which I think are kind of cool. But anyhow, if you don't, let's talk about it. Or you've got them and you want to preserve them. Let's talk about that. 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome back to this segment. Before we go to the lines or to the emails, I'd like to thank, of course, Mike Statz is our engineer today. Crystal Price is the friendly voice that you're talking to as you call in. And Rich Lisansky is our producer. Again, always, without the three of you, this show does not go on. And I sincerely appreciate all that you do. Okay, before we go to the lines, I do have some emails. Robert in Commerce Township puts resodded and then overwatered it, so he's got some brown spots or some spots that have died out. What do I do? It depends, Robert. If the spots are less than about 6 inches in diameter, the cool weather and the water should allow the new grass to fill in, and that's the easiest way to do it. If you've got bigger spots, you're going to have to overseed. Now, here's the problem. Matching the quality of the grass seed. The seed that sod growers produce is the highest quality available. And I mean, as good, nobody else gets that quality seed. So you're going to have to buy the best quality seed available to you, or if you happen to know what the sod grower used, see if you can buy a half a pound or something from them. Some of them still have some of it around. But you're going to have to match the quality of the seed. The color and everything, if you buy any of the newer cultivars of seed, should match pretty well. I'm not worried about that. One of the things is that you think about is instead of just scattering it on and trying to do it that way, especially with the sod underneath there, think about slit seeding. And that would be where the machine, you cut the slit, you put this machine puts the seed in and it covers it back up. It works very, very well in turf like that. So I think it'll be no problems. You should be able to get that grass looking great, Robert. Just make sure you get the top quality seed. Let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Tom in Harrison. And then who's up next? Oh, okay. Robert in Highland Township. And Robert, I got to talk to you because I want to know what the question's all about. But anyhow, whoops, we lost somebody. I pressed the wrong button. My fault. Whoever I just cut off. Okay. Whoever I just cut off, call back. I apologize. You should never allow a host to press a button. Shouldn't do that. Robert from Highland Township, are you there?
I got two questions for you.
Okay. I got to know about the freezing grass seed one first. That one's intriguing. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. A buddy of mine told me, if you got leftover grass seed, you can put it in the freezer and freeze it till next spring.
Yeah.
Then when you take it out, it germinates. It thinks it's spring. Is that true?
You can store it that way. I don't think you don't put it in a freezer. If like a chest freezer or that kind, it's too cold. It'll freeze it solid, and that means it's dead. Put it in a crisper in your refrigerator probably would be a better thing. About that, under 40 degrees? Yeah. Well, you can do it. You can store it. Actually, you can sow grass seed on snow. And it will, once it melts, it'll germinate most of the time. Some years it doesn't, but most of the time it will. So that's one question. What's the second question, Robert?
The second question is, is it too late to put down grass seed in September?
Not at all. This is the absolute best time of the year to do it. And actually, the middle of September is ideal. It's cooler, it's wetter, we can control weeds better, there's less pressure on it. So this is the best time of the whole year. And that's why I talk about people who want to reseed in the spring. If you can put up with the mess, wait until the fall. You'll be so much easier and you'll be so much happier with the results.
I see.
Okay.
Do you also have to put down, I got a slope on the side of the house where I want to put new topsoil.
Yeah.
Should I put down straw on top of the seed after
you
I
have
fertilize
to. You have to. Yeah, you're going to have to keep it moist. Yeah. And usually with the way the old thing with straw is, you put it on until you think it's half as deep as it should be, and that's just right. Half as deep as you think it should be, and that'll be just perfect.
What do you mean half as deep?
Well, when you put it in, you only need one layer of straw, one piece of straw per square inch, or not,
right.
Soil, not two. And a lot of times it's real easy to get too much in there. And then as the seed comes up, it actually doesn't get it to the light fast enough. So you don't need much. You need some. The other thing you might want to think about is if you've got a slope, there is netting you can get to put over it to hold that soil until the seed gets out and holds it in place. And you might want to check that. Check your local garden centers, the family-owned garden centers. They'll know what you're talking about on that one.
Oakland County, okay. They lay it down when they
Yeah, but you don't need all the straw and everything. They use Excelsior in the pad. You can get that. It works, but you don't need it. You just need the net.
I see.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to, okay, Linda in Troy, and then who's up next? That would be David in Chesterfield. You're going to be up next. So, Linda, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you. I just discovered on my roses some little worms or caterpillars.
Okay,
they look,
sure.
They're green. What do I do?
How many of them are there?
Well, maybe two on a plant right now.
Don't take this the way it's going to sound, Linda. How squeamish are you about worms?
I'm not. No, I'm not.
Pick them off and stomp them.
Okay, that's all?
Yeah, if you only got two. Now, if you got hundreds, that's another deal.
I have four roses. Two are established and two are new. And three of the roses had maybe one or two on them, and I flipped them off.
Yep, that's fine.
To begin with.
You know, there's two tricks. Flipping them off works. I step on them, and my wife doesn't like that, so she uses a little soapy water and dunks them. So whatever. You know, if you're not squeamish about the worms, the physical approach is always the best way, in my opinion. Sometimes we get into a situation where you just can't do it. But then there are – and let me give you a material just in case, Linda, and for other people out there that may be facing a little bit more of a problem than Linda is. Spinosad, S-P-I-N-O-S-I-D. And that's the active ingredient, and the brand I know, and they're a sponsor of mine, a very good sponsor, is Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. It's made by Bonide.
Okay.
And that works on worms and quite a few other things. And it is certified organic for people who are trying to maintain organic. But in your case, Linda, grab them and squish them.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you
very much.
1-800-859-0957. Okay, let's go to, where am I at? There we go. And let's go to David in Chesterfield, and then Marie in Detroit. You've been very patient, and you're up next. So, David, welcome to the Gardening Show.
I'm having a little problem with a six-year-old dogwood tree of mine this year.
Okay.
I've got some of the branches are getting brown leaves, and the leaves got little brown spots on them. I've got some hostas underneath the tree, and they were very small this year. They didn't bloom fully. I was wondering if you have any ideas what's going on.
What kind of dogwood is it?
I knew you were going to ask, and I'm not sure exactly
Tell me when it blooms, early in the spring or it's the last one around?
Early in the spring.
Okay, it's the American dogwood. And it's got a problem with a disease called dogwood anthracnose. And they are just, all of them get it. Is this in a partially shaded area by any chance, David?
It's not right out in front of my house by the porch. So it gets a lot of sun in the afternoon.
That'll help. Well, if the problem with it is the disease is promoted if they're, you know, dogwoods are what we call understory trees. So they grow under other trees. Unfortunately, that sets them up for this disease. And I'm going to put an article in thegardeningshow.com. It's about dogwood anthracnose. And basically, there's not much you can do that right now, except when the leaves drop, make sure you rake them up and then destroy them or put them in the garbage. They don't put them in a compost pile or anything like that. And
okay.
You got to get them off your property. As far as the hostas, I don't think anything that's related to anything. I think that's probably just the winter, but I'm guessing on that. It's not related to, I don't think. Look at this dogwood anthracnose. And if you don't recognize it, give me a call back next week. But I think that's what it is, because it's all over the place right now.
Is there anything I could treat that with?
Next spring. You're going to go on a spray program. But not now.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do really now for it except, as I said, get rid of those leaves and get it as they drop and clean them up and get them off your property.
Great. Thank you very much.
Check out the website. Should be, we update by Wednesday, guaranteed. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Before we go back to the lines, because I'm coming up on a break, let me go back to the emails. Marianne in Northville has a mimosa tree. And if you're not familiar with mimosa trees, it's because you don't live in Louisiana. These trees are, they're gorgeous. I mean, lovely tree. The problem is that they're right at the absolute end of their zone, Marianne, and the winter just killed yours off. But if you've ever seen one of these in full bloom, they're worth the wait. The only other one I know around, I may know your tree, Marianne, because I know there was one in Northville. There's the one in Dearborn. I haven't checked that one lately. The problem with it is, as I said, it's at the end of its zone. Take the sprouts are coming up, cut the tree off above those sprouts, and then train two or three of them up, and you can regenerate the tree. I'm also going to put information on my website about where they call it invasive. It's invasive if I live in Louisiana. It's not invasive here. So one of the things when people label trees or plants as invasive, make sure they're talking about Michigan. Check my website, thegardeningshow.com. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
And let's go to the lines. Let's go to Marie in Detroit, Noreen in Rochester. You're going to be up next. So, Marie, thank you for being so patient.
You're very welcome. My question is regarding a mock orange. Well, it's a bush. It's not a tree.
Yes, it is a bush.
Okay. How do I, can I trim that now? It's stuck between two other large trees. Mm-hmm. I think they're not spruce.
A conifer, pine or something like
right.
that. Right. Yeah.
And it's really pushed out, and it's mm-hmm. reaching so high for the sun.
Right.
And now they're getting long and spindly. Can right. I cut them back now?
Okay, Marie, before I talk about that, you know, when you talk about mock orange, this has
right.
this has memories for me.
And really?
Memories are of my grandmother.
Oh, they're beautiful, bush. I love them.
Well, most people, you know, you have to be of a certain age, like maybe you and I, to understand and appreciate this. And my grandmother loved mock orange, and we had it. And so that brings up great memories. Now, let's go back to your problem. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
You know, the problem, you shouldn't prune it now because the new growth is so susceptible to an early freeze.
Okay.
So if you're going to do any pruning, it's going to be next spring.
Okay.
But that's not going to solve your problem. The
problem
is that there's not enough light. Now, here's what I would suggest you might want to try. And I would suggest taking some cuttings, rooting them, and planting them in an area perhaps where they've got more sun. And that's not hard to do. Mock orange roots very easily.
Okay.
So do you root other plants, you know, like geraniums and things like that? Or
I don't have much luck with rooting geraniums.
Well,
I have taken a couple of the shoots off the mock orange and put them in other pots.
Okay.
And some of them have grown.
There's another trick. Is there enough space, or is the mock orange whippy enough that you can bend some of the branches down to the ground?
I've been trying to do that.
Well, there's one way to do it. And you put the branch down to the ground, you nick it a little bit underneath it, you put a little soil on it with the end sticking up, and then it'll root there. Next spring, you can cut that off, and it'll start there. And you know, I use a hair clip or a piece of coat hanger wire to clip it down, and
oh,
that
I
might
see.
Work. Or take the cuttings after the frost, after the leaves
right.
go off. They're 4 or 6 inches long. Put them in your crisper in your refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
Then next spring, once it starts to warm up and, you know, how it goes, get some really good potting soil, a pot, stick that cutting in that, and put it in a windowsill where it gets, you know, not southern light, but whatever good light you can get it. And most of the time, they will root. You might want to go to a garden center or something for rooting hormone, but I would think a mock orange should root very easily like that. But you take the cuttings after the frost because you want the leaves off.
I was thinking of transplanting that, but it's a very old bush, and I'm sure it's got very deep roots.
Well, if you're going to transplant it, can you put up with this problem for a year? Because it can be done, but what you're going to have to do is next spring, you're going to root prune it. Take a spade and go around the ball, and then allow that root system to redevelop all summer, and then transplant it a year from now. That would be the ideal way to do it if you can put up with it that long.
Okay, very good.
Thank you so much for bringing up good memories of my grandmother. I really appreciate that.
I enjoy the plant viciously. I just think it's beautiful, and all my neighbors keep going, what is that smell? My mock orange.
Nobody knows it anymore, but it's a wonderful plant. It really is. So.
It is. It is. I've got one growing in between my hedges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the squirrels get into them, and they'll move them around, too.
And I want to dig it out, but I have to dig up that one hedge.
Mm-hmm.
And now you say to wait until...
Not now. It's too late. Well, you could do it. The risks are high. I'd rather do it a year from now and just use that root pruning technique. It'll be much more likely to take off.
Okay.
Okay?
Good enough.
Thank you so much. Okay. Let's see. Noreen, Al, Rose, Amy, and Alan, stay on the lines. I don't know where the time went, but I'm coming up on the end, and that means I still want to talk to you, so don't hang up if we run out of time, please. I will talk to every one of you. But it'll be maybe off the air. I have one more email I need to talk to, and that's Jim in Holt has a maple tree that's causing some real problems, dropping its leaves and things like that, was diagnosed with perhaps a girdling root. Very possible, Jim, because basically a root that's going around rather than out strangles the tree. You can check for yourself. Dig out the soil around the base of the tree. You should have to go no more than 6 inches down. The roots should flare out. You can see it. And if you see one that's going around, you know the problem. This could have happened because the tree was planted too deep when it was planted originally, or it could have happened in the nursery, too. Either way, that's kind of neither here nor there, because now you've got to deal with the problem. On my website, thegardeningshow.com, I've got an excellent article from the University, I think it's Missouri, about girdling roots. You need a pro to come in and do it. You're not just going to hack away. It's a little bit tricky. There is going to be damage to the tree, so you're going to see some damage. It's going to take a while for it to recover. And just remember, Jim, on that side, there's no support, so it could just flop over that. But it can be done. Check out my website, thegardeningshow.com. It does sound like a girdling root. And Marianne, on your mimosa, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I did put some great information up on mimosas. And if you've never seen this tree and never been in Louisiana or someplace like that, take a look. It's a beautiful, beautiful tree, just very rare up here. And also read that article I'm going to put up on invasive and why it's not invasive in Michigan. All right, we're getting close. So I need to go to Noreen in Rochester. And Rose in Upper Sandusky, you're going to be up next, and I apologize for hitting their button on you. Al in Garden City, Emmy in Worcester, Ohio, and Alan in Bryan, Ohio, stay on the line, please. So, Noreen, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
I'm sorry I'm so rushed today, but go ahead.
I have a plant with a reproduction problem. I forgot the name of it, but it looks like a purple or blue puffball. It also comes in a pink variety or the snowbell or snowball type.
Oh, you know a hydrangea.
The hydrangea, yes.
Probably.
Okay, when we originally planted it, it was a beautiful dark blue purple, if you will.
Right.
It's 10 years old. The guy never flowered again.
Okay.
The woman, whatever. And so,
well, it's actually
anyways,
both.
I did not cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last few years, I did cut it. Still the same issue.
Okay. First of all, Noreen, do you have internet access?
Yes.
Check thegardeningshow.com, the information from last week's show or the week before. I put up a great site, the best site I've ever seen on hydrangeas. And it'll talk about all the issues with them. They're beautiful plants. Here's the list. It could be not sunny enough. You could be fertilizing it too much. You could be overwatering it or underwatering it. And I swear the one that I got just doesn't feel like blooming once in a while because it doesn't do it. It could be also be the which side of the house it's on. So the reasons go on forever. But check that website, and it's not this week's, but I think it was last week's or the week before. And it's okay. A great site. Don't give up. But I think you take a look at that, and it'll give you a lot of the answers that you're looking for, okay?
Okay. Well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry for being so slow. Okay, here we go again. Alan Garden City, Rose in Upper Sandusky, Emmy in Wooster, Ohio, and Alan in Bryan, Ohio. Background music means is there. I'm out of here, but off the air. That doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you, so stay on the lines. Please, don't hang up. The rest of you, I don't know where the time went, but check out thegardeningshow.com, my website. Wednesday, we update it. I've got all kinds of good stuff on this, all this information about mimosa trees. Actually, I like the tree. It's just kind of weedy and other things. Got information on girdling roots for Jim and planting too deeply also. Dogwood anthracnose will be on there. Late blight will be on there. And I got an article from the Ohio State about spider webs in your lawn. If you notice, because it's been so humid and just downright sticky lately, that you go out and there's dew on your lawn and you can see the spider webs, don't freak out. They're a really important part of the ecology of your lawn, and they're very, very interesting. And this is a great article on spider webs in your lawn. Have a fantastic week. The Gardening Show will be back in a week.